And the last thing is that actually, as I mentioned before, when you look at the planets, they look no different than very bright stars. So the ancients couldn't really distinguish between the two, except for the fact that planets were wandering around every now and then by executing their retrograde motion. But what he found that all planets, when you point a telescope to a planet, then you see that it actually has a visible disk, that it has a finite size. But when he pointed the telescope to the star, they always appear to be point-like, which tells us that they appear to be point-like because they are so far away from us that we cannot see their disks, okay? So that tells us that the planets are much closer to us and the sun than the stars, okay? So that implies that the planets are much closer to us than the stars. All of this he did in 1609. And 2009 was celebrated as the year of the astronomer in honor of one of the greatest astronomers ever, Galileo Galilei, using the telescope for the first time in 1609 to observe the night sky and come up with these fantastic and long-ranging discoveries. He also published these things, and that was the big threat. You know, if you have a guy here and there who kind of realizes that what you've been telling him is wrong, you are not worried. But if he starts publishing it in the form of book or otherwise, that's a problem, right? So he published his observations in a book called The Star Messenger. And he didn't endure himself with the church. Either way, he published a pamphlet called The Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems. And there was it was formulated as a dialogue between two people, one effectively advocating heliocentric model and the other geocentric model. And that one, advocating geocentric model, was named Simplicus, right? Like a simpleton. And basically, it embodied the character of then Pope Urban VIII, okay? And that didn't go well at all. And he was threatened by the church, never was subjected to all the torture by Inquisition. What they were doing at the time was what was called in Latin tortura verbis, meaning verbal torture. Accused would be shown all the devices that could be used on him, and you know, your imagination can be actually worse sometimes than the real thing. You can anticipate in what kind of pain and agony you are going to be, and that causes you to kind of go along, right? So that was done to Galileo, but and he backed off. He had to back off for various reasons. Nevertheless, his book, The Starry Messenger, was eventually published, and he, for that reason, he is considered to be the founder of the modern scientific method, and I'll explain why. First, he built the apparatus to do the observation or the measurement. In his case, it was telescope. Then he actually did the observations with it. And finally, he published the results. These three ingredients are essential to what we call the scientific method. Scientists often spend a lot of time designing their equipment with which they want to do a particular measurement. So that is one stage. In the case of a theoretical work, like what I do, you often have to design a computer program that is going to do the calculation. So that would be this part of building the apparatus. Once you have the apparatus, then you actually have to do something with it. You have to do the observation in the case of Galileo, or do the measurement, or in the case of theoretical work, you actually do the calculation of whatever you want to find out. Once you've completed all of that, I mean, it's nice that you know what the results are, but you have to communicate that to the rest of the world, in particular to your peers, so that they can replicate and check your results, right? So you have to publish the results. The results, scientific results, that are not known to anybody else but to the a discoverer, are meaningless. They make that one person happy, but they don't advance the knowledge of the humanity. So these three steps are the key elements of scientific method even today. And he was the first one to actually execute all three steps. And hence, he's considered to be the founder of the modern scientific method.